I'm Devin Skeets of the Buffalo Buttes, and you are listening to the Experience Hockey Talk.
And everyone, welcome to the Experience Hockey Talk. My name is Mike Momo, and we are brought to you by the Tilted Kilt in Frederick, Maryland. The Tilted Kilt Pub and Eerie, located at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilted Kilt Girls. For more on Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. And today is February 20th, 2016. We're going to jump right into it with the Washington Capitals and the Dallas Stars from December, from February 13th. Now, please keep this in mind. On February 13th, I had a very busy schedule ahead of me. I alluded to it on Twitter a bit, but I was at Farpoint Convention, which that episode of The Experience will be up later today. And then I was also later that night at MCW Extreme Anniversary featuring the Hardy Boys in China. That episode of The Experience is currently up now. But so as a result of that, I had to miss the Caps-Stars game. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to run through the lineup, run through the stats of the game, essentially the score sheet of the game, and then I'm going to give some thoughts because obviously I didn't see it, so I can't really give a direct opinion on what I saw because I couldn't see it. So hopping right into the Caps at Dallas Stars, your lineup for the Caps was, in the first line was Alex Ovechkin, Nicholas Backstrom, and TJ Oshie. Second line, Andre Burakovsky, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and Justin Williams. Third line is Jason Chimera, Marcus Johansson, and Tom Wilson. Brooks Like with Mike Richards and Stanislav Galiv. Your defensive pairings were Nate Schmidt with John Carlson, Carl Alsner with Matt Niskanen, Dmitry Orlov with Taylor Chorney, and Braden Holtby starting in net. In the first period, the Washington Capitals bench was called for too many men on the ice, which was served by Burakovsky at 4:55. At the end of the first, it was 0-0 Caps-Dallas. Shots were 8-6 in favor of Dallas. Faceoffs were tied at 8 apiece for both teams, and Dallas out-hit the Washington Capitals 10-7. On the power play, the Capitals did not have one, and Dallas was 0-1. In the second period, however, things would change. In the first period, at 1:55 into the period, Matthias Janmark scored his 11th of the season from Alex Hemsky. Then at 6:48, Jamie Benn scored his 29th of the season from Patrick Ease and Patrick Nemeth. Then Cody Eakin would be called for slashing at 7:55. And then at 14:01, Tyler Seguin would score his 29th of the season, assisted by Patrick Nemeth. And then later on, at 18:20 of the second period, Tom Wilson was called for interference, and then Brooks Like was called for high-sticking at 18:51, which on the power play, Tyler Seguin would score his 30th of the season at 19:23 from John Klingberg and Patrick Sharp. As a result, Dallas would go into the second intermission with a 4-0 lead. Shots were 25-11 in favor of Dallas, which featured a 17-6 shot differential in the second period alone. Faceoffs were 24-17 hits for the Capitals. Hits were 16-14 in favor of Dallas. The Caps were 0-1 on the power play, whereas Dallas was 1-3. Then going into the third period, at 2:50 of this third period, Jordy Benn was called for interference, which on that power play at 4:03, Alex Ovechkin scored his 35th of the season from John Carlson and Nicholas Backstrom, their 24th and 36th of the season, respectively. Then Evgeny Kuznetsov was called for holding at 4:45. Justin Williams scored his 18th of the season at 7:20 from Nate Schmidt and Evgeny Kuznetsov, their 11th and 40th of the season, respectively. Then Cody Eakin was called for holding at 11:27. At 13:54, Andrei Burakovsky would score his 11th of the season from Evgeny Kuznetsov and Dmitry Orlov, their 41st and 15th, respectively. At the end of the game, the Dallas Stars would win 4-3 over the Caps. Shots were 35-23 in favor of Dallas. Faceoffs were 31-27 in favor of the Caps. Hits were 23-15 in favor of the Stars, and the power play was 1-for-3 for the Caps and 1-for-4 for Dallas. Now, I got to say, that second period didn't look very good for the Washington Capitals, giving up 4 goals like the way they did. But in the third period, they showed that they can come back, and come back they almost did. They obviously fell short. They weren't able to get that fourth goal to tie it and potentially send it to overtime. But you know what? This was a game I really wish I could have watched, because as my one friend Brandon Shook, who's actually also a Montreal Canadiens fan, so hi Brandon, how you doing? He actually texted me when I was at the MCW show that, you know, this was a game that was very good to watch. It was definitely a potential preview of a potential Stanley Cup final between these two teams. So, Brandon, I'm glad you loved watching the game, buddy. Thanks for giving me that little heads up on that. Also, huge thanks to my good friend Dixon Kendrick, who actually was able to supply me with the stats and with the lineup for the game against the Dallas Stars. Now, moving on to the 16th of February, where the Los Angeles Kings visited the Washington Capitals. Your lineup for the Capitals was Alex Ovechkin with Nicholas Backstrom and TJ Oshie, Andre Burakovsky with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, Jason Chimera with Marcus Johansson and Tom Wilson, Brooks Like with Mike Richards and Michael Latta. Your defense pairings were Nate Schmidt with John Carlson, Carl Alzner and Matt Niskanen, Brooks Orpik returning after a 40-game absence with Dmitry Orlov and Philip Grubauer in the net. Going into the first period at 1:53 into the first, Trevor Lewis got called for holding. Then at 8:54, TJ Oshie was called for holding. At 11:01, Alec Martinez was called for tripping. And then at 13:22, Andrei Burakovsky was called for holding. At 16:01, Jordan Nolan was called for boarding. And then shorthanded at 16:43, Anze Kopitar would score his 17th of the season from Dustin Brown and Drew Doughty. LA would go into the first intermission up 1-0. Shots were 12-9 in favor of LA. Faceoffs were 10-7 in favor of LA. Hits were 14-10 in favor of LA. And on the power play, LA was 0-2, where the Caps were 0-3. The Caps had an okay period, in my opinion. They generated chances but could not convert. They need to do better on their power play, plus they need to shoot the puck. There were too many times when they should have shot the puck, but instead passed the puck away. They need to tighten up their sloppiness and get their chances to count, plus they need to stay out of the box. Well, going into the second period, at 6 minutes into the period, Luke Shen and Tom Wilson both got 5-minute majors for fighting, and Tom Wilson also got an additional two minutes for interference. Then at 11:53, Braden McNabb was called for hooking, and then at 19:11, Andrei Burakovsky scored his 12th of the season from Dmitry Orlov and Brooks Orpik, which were their 16th and 3rd assists of the season, respectively. At the end of two, shots were 31-20 in favor of LA, faceoffs were 21-16 in favor of LA, hits were 27-24 in favor of the Caps, and on the power play, the LA was 0-3, where the Caps were 0-4. As good as it was to tie the game up with 49 seconds left in the second period, the Caps, however, were very sloppy, and after a TV timeout, got themselves woken up. The Caps need to play a full 20 minutes in the third and cut down on the mistakes that they hope to win this game. And again, stay out of the penalty box. Going into the third period at 1:24 into the period, Tyler Toffoli was called for hooking. But then later on in the period at 17:58, Evgeny Kuznetsov would score his 16th of the season from Justin Williams and Andrei Burakovsky, their 21st and 15th of the season. And then at 19:51, Jason Chimera would score the empty net goal for his 16th of the season from Marcus Johansson and Carl Alzner, the 20th and 16th of the season, respectively. Washington would go on to win the game 3-1. LA had 40 shots to the Caps 32. Faceoffs were 33-25 in favor of LA. Both teams had 33 hits. The power play was 0-3 for LA and 0-5 for the Caps. This was a much better period for the Caps. You could tell that the Burakovsky goal at the end of the second period put some life into the Capitals game. They were able to dominate throughout most of this period, and not only that, but this also, just like with the Dallas Stars game, showed that this is another potential Stanley Cup Finals matchup that could happen if the Capitals can get that far. I'm not going ahead and saying that they will be that far. I'm just taking it day by day, just like the players are. So, another potential Stanley Cup Finals matchup. another one that really delivered. But the Capitals, they got to stay out of the box. They got to fix the sloppiness. It was great seeing Brooks Orpik back in the lineup. You could tell he didn't miss a beat when he got out there, especially for a guy missing 40 games. So this, obviously, with the trade deadline coming up, is going to make things a bit more interesting. But I'll talk about the trade deadline next weekend, as when I air, it'll be 2 days before the actual deadline itself. So with that, we're going to go to break. Then we'll be doing the NWHL report when we come back.
Looking for something to warm up your night? Then come out to Hollywood, Maryland for Maryland Championship Wrestling's Winter Blast at the Hollywood Volunteer Fire Department on Saturday, February 27th. Come see WWE Hall of Famer Mick Foley and the stars of MCW like MCW Women's Champion Renee Michelle and the MCW Tag Team Champions D'Entourage with Kevin Eck. For more information and to purchase tickets to MCW Winter Blast, visit MarylandWrestling.com.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey fans. And we are now doing the NWHL report, which is brought to you by AwesomeCon. AwesomeCon, which is June 3rd through 5th, 2016 at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, Maria Baccarin, Kevin Smith, and many others. For more information, please visit awesome-con.com. And for the NWHL report, we start off with Valentine's Day when the Connecticut Whale took on the Boston Pride. In a game that had first place in the NWHL at stake, it would be a very inspired Boston Pride team that would go on to defeat the Connecticut Whale 4-2. On a day that was dubbed Denna Day in honor of Boston Pride player Denna Lang, who was injured on December 31st at the Outdoor Women's Classic at Gillette Stadium, it would be Lang surprising her teammates and showing them the support that they have been giving her since day one of her injury. Jordan Smoker would record 2 goals and an assist for the Pride. Brandon Decker capitalized on an early second period power play, and Gigi Marvin would score an empty net goal to seal the deal for the Boston Pride. Brittany Daughtry scored her first goal of the season, and Kate Buser would score late in the third period for the Whale as well. Also on Valentine's Day, you had the Buffalo Buttes versus the New York Rotors. Megan Fartleman would kick off the scoring for the Rotors 2:05 into the game. However, the second period was won by the Buttes, as Devin Skeets would score the tie to game at 1 apiece, and then Shelby Brand would deflect the puck past Rivers goalie Nana Fujimoto to take a 2-1 lead. In the third, Morgan Fritz Ward would tie the game at 2, then Kelly Stedman would score less than 2 minutes later to give the Buttes the 3-2 lead. However, the Riveters would not back down, as Bray Ketchum would score to tie the game. In the shootout, Emily Falzer would score the lone goal for the Buttes, while Brooke Emmerman and Kira Dusdale would score this to secure the 4-3 shootout victory for the Riveters, which means that Boston will take first place now at 12 with a 12-3-1 record with 25 points, with Connecticut Whale in second place with a 12-4-0 record and 24 points. Buffalo Buttes still have third place at 4-8-4 record with 12 points, but the New York Riveters are still alive and able to take third place with their win on Valentine's Day, as they now have a 4-10-2 record with 10 points. On the 15th, the NWHL announced the Isabel Cup playoffs. The inaugural Isabel Cup playoffs will commence March 4th at Chelsea Piers, Connecticut in Raymond Bourque Arena. The Connecticut Whale will face either the 3rd or 4th seed at Chelsea Piers, Connecticut, Friday, March 4th at 7:10 p.m., Saturday, March 5th at 7:30 p.m., and if necessary, Sunday, March 6th at 6 p.m. The Boston Pride will face either the 3rd or 4th seed at Raymond Bourque Arena Friday, March 4th at 7 p.m., Saturday, March 5th at a time to be determined, and if necessary, Sunday, March 6th at 7 p.m. For the Isabel Cup finals themselves, they will take place at Prudential Center Practice Facility in Newark, New Jersey. The finals will take place Friday, March 11th at 7:30 p.m., Saturday, March 12th at 7:30 p.m., and if necessary, Sunday, March 13th at 1:30 p.m. The NWHL Player of the Week was announced on the 16th of February. The NWHL announced that Boston Pride forward Jordan Smoker has been named Player of the Week. Jordan Smoker scored twice, including the game winner, and added an assist to help Boston defeat Connecticut 4-2 and edge the Whale out of first place. on tap for the NWHL this upcoming weekend. Tomorrow, February 21st at 1:30 p.m., the Boston Pride take on the Connecticut Whale, once again with first place on the line. If the Boston Pride win, they secure first place, and the Connecticut will automatically be in second place. Then at 3:30 p.m., you have the New York Riveters versus the Buffalo Buttes, which also has third place implications on the line. If the Buffalo Buttes win in regulation or in overtime, they will take the first seed or the third seed overall. However, the New York Riveters win, whoever wins their game the following week, they will take third place. So Buffalo wins to this weekend, they get third. If the Riveters win, it will be decided next week. Same goes for the Boston Pride and Connecticut Whale for first place. Boston wins today, they get first. Connecticut wins this week, then we go into next week to decide the first and third seeds. For more information on the National Women's Hockey League, visit NWHL.co and follow on Twitter at NWHL. And when we come back, we will have the NWHL Player of the Week, Jordan Smelker, joining us. Ladies and gentlemen, that next big convention's right around the corner, which is AwesomeCon. AwesomeCon, which is June 3rd through 5th, 2016, at the Walter E. Washington Convention Center in Washington, D.C. Come see special guests like Adam West, Burt Ward, Marina Baccarin, and many others. For more information, please visit awesome-con.com today. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for a serious hockey fan, and I am joined right now by the NWHL Player of the Week, Boston Pride forward, Jordan Smelker. Jordan, welcome to the show. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Now, reason you're named Player of the Week was because you were able to score twice and add an assist to help Boston defeat the Connecticut Whale 4-2 and edge the Whale out of first place. What was it like for you and the Pride to actually take first place from the Connecticut Whale?
Well, it was obviously pretty great. We felt like we had the potential to do that all season, but we kind of hit a rough patch there. But I feel like these past couple months, we've really come together as a team and are really clicking a lot better. So it was really great to have Denna there for that moment, too. So it was one of the highlights we've had so far this year, among many.
Now, you brought up Denna. Obviously, Denna, who was injured at the Outdoor Women's Classic, was there. She made a surprise appearance. What did that mean to you and the Pride, and how much more did it motivate you going into that game?
It's hard to describe what it meant. We always knew Denna was an amazing person, or is an amazing person, and she's just shown that this year. She's really incredible. She's probably one of the most inspirational people I've ever met. I'm sure everyone else can say the same. And I don't know, it's something about her has brought us together, like her positivity and her just how she's working through this whole situation is just really remarkable and really brought us all together.
And with that, you know, she has been having one heck of a fight, and she has been showing improvement, which is always good to see.
Yes.
Now, were you able to play in the Outdoor Women's Classic? Because I remember that certain players were not able to.
No, I wasn't there.
And that was because of the Olympic tryout or the Team USA tryouts?
It was a winter camp in Minnesota.
So not being there, but hearing about the incident, what were your thoughts, especially like some of your other teammates, like Hillary Knight, when you all heard the news about that?
Yeah, I mean, it was really scary. We didn't know a lot for the first week after it happened. So we're all kind of wondering what happened, if she was okay, and I don't know, we're just all pretty worried. It was not a great time.
Now, moving more back into the hockey now, we don't want to be downers or anything, because we were upset when Denna got injured.
Yep.
You mentioned rough patch
For me, in the rough patch that I think you were talking about that the Pride had earlier in the season happened because of that Frozen Four tournament. Because a lot of your team kind of participated in that tournament, whereas few others didn't. So some of that chemistry kind of got lost a little bit. Would you agree with that assessment that maybe chemistry got messed up because of that tournament, and then after a few weeks were able to get back into the flow of things?
Oh, the Four Nations tournament?
Yeah, the Four Nations tournament.
Oh, I don't think that was the issue. I mean, like with any team, you have ups and downs, and we kind of lost it for a little bit there. We kind of had to regroup and, I guess, get on the same page after that. Because we spent a couple weeks apart, and but I definitely wouldn't blame it on the break there. It was just kind of, I don't know. It's hard to explain why.
The timing was just there. The timing just wasn't there.
Yeah, we were just not really clicking yet.
Okay. And, you know, speaking of rough times, you're actually going up against the team, the Connecticut Whale, that I guess you could say have been going through a rough patch of their own right now, given the coaching change that they've had, the general manager changes that they've had. Do you think that has been truly affecting them on the ice as well, because now they're learning a new system? Obviously, you know, general manager set up the practices for you. You know, having those type of changes, it affects you a little bit because you're not sure if you're going to have the practice that day or not. Do you think that's probably what's been going on with the Connecticut Whale on the ice, that's just trying to get that refocus back onto their game right now?
It could be. It's hard to say because I don't not really there and involved, but I will give them a lot of credit for, I guess, going through all that, because that's definitely not easy. But I mean, we're not really focused on anyone else. We're just focused on us and playing the way we know we can play, because that's when we perform our best, is when we just stick to our own plan and not worry about anyone else.
And with that, you actually play the Connecticut Whale tomorrow.
Yes.
And this game has a lot of playoff implications for you. It has first place is still on the line. There's only 1 point between you two teams. So I would say with a win, you would get first place automatic. But if you go into overtime losing the shootout, it could make things a little different. It could literally take it down to the final line. What is your thoughts going into this with the final 2 weeks, trying to secure first place, knowing that Connecticut's your first opponent in these last 2 weeks, you know, and they're wanting their first place spot back? What is the mindset going into that game and then the game the following week to try to secure first place in the league?
Well, I think the mindset we're all going to have is to build off what we've, I guess, build off last weekend and just beat them in every way possible, win all our battles, and just outwork them. I think that's the plan we've been using the past couple weeks, and it's working. So as long as we go in there with just outworking them is the most important thing for us. And when we outwork opponents, we usually are successful.
And let's talk about two teams that you aren't facing this week, as they're facing themselves with third place on the line, and that's the Buffalo Buttes and the New York Riveters. Obviously, they're not having the best of seasons this season. It's really a true gap in between the top two teams and the bottom two teams. But on a personal level, watching these two teams playing against these two teams, which team would you prefer to face in the first round, and which team would you prefer, and obviously, which team would you prefer not to face in the first round?
Well, I don't know if I have a preference. I'd say neither team is easy to beat, and they're always hard-fought, tough games. But I guess I'll give you the political answer. We're all ready for any opponent.
That sounds perfectly fine for me, but yeah, it seems that with the Buttes and the Riveters, there is now that, you know, the Riveters got the win last week. Now that puts them in a spot where they can, if they win this week, they could potentially get third place now. It was also announced, and the reason I'm bringing up all four teams now is because obviously the NWHL announced the Isvolt Cup playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
The first 2 weeks will automatically, or the first two playoff series in the semifinals will be played at Chelsea Piers, Connecticut, and Raymond Bourque Arena, because the Pride and the Whale have automatically gotten home ice advantage.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to bring up the finals because they announced that it'll take place at the Prudential Center practice facility in Newark, New Jersey. What will it like playing in a neutral location rather than at a home ice or road location?
I guess I'm not really sure. We haven't really done that this year yet. And I'm trying to think back to my career in college. I don't think we ever played a neutral location either, so it's just be a really new thing for me. I'm hoping we'll get a lot of fans. It's always nice to be at home. Playing at Harvard is pretty awesome. We get awesome fans and it's a great rink. But I don't know, it'll be interesting to see like who shows up and if we're there, hopefully we're there. I guess if we'll have a ton of Pride fans there or another, if we'll get more from the other opponent, but we'll see. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, because neutral site games, I haven't seen a league like the NWHL or the NHL do a neutral site game since like the early 90s when the NHL did it when they had the 84-game schedule. And I bring this up because the one game that always reminds me of that was one season when the Capitals played the New York Rangers in Phoenix, Arizona.
Oh, really?
Which was the most random thing to take two Eastern Conference teams and play them in a West Coast location as a neutral site.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So, you know, but when you look at it, you would even though one team would be billed as the home team, they aren't really the home team.
Yeah,
and that brings out a whole different atmosphere to a game. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that works out when the finals come around in about 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I just got to throw this out there. Obviously, I want to talk about one of the other teammates because she has been a focal point, a kind of like a face of the league, I guess you could say, especially the Pride. And that's Hillary Knight.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like for you to be on a team with Hillary Knight? What is she like in the locker room? And what does she give to the game, in your opinion?
Well, first of all, she's a great person. She's really hilarious. I don't know if you follow her Snapchats or, I guess, other social media, but she's awesome to have on the team, always playing pranks and making jokes, lightening the mood. And then, of course, on the ice, she's always a big physical presence, obviously, and she's an amazing hockey player. So it's awesome to look up to her, and like when she gives feedback, it's great. It's like, please tell me whenever you see anything I could do better, please tell me, because she's great at giving feedback and kind of being a leader by example out there, which is great.
Okay, now last question for you. I've already purchased my Buffalo Buttes and New York Riveters jerseys now that they're available back on sale on the NWHL website. I need a player for the Boston Pride. Who should I pick?
Me, of course.
All right. And with that, Jordan, thank you so much for coming on the Experience Hockey Talk.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back from the break. Looking for hockey cards to build your collection, or that specific card you would like to have to get signed by your favorite player? Then I recommend Just Hockey Cards out in Silver Spring, Maryland. Donald takes good care of me when I'm looking to build my collection, and he'll help you too. For inquiries, reach out to Donald at blake4av@aol.com. That's blake4av@aol.com. And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, Serious Hockey Talk for your Serious Hockey fans. And now we are going in
to the Caps game at the New York Islanders on February 18th. The lineup for the Washington Capitals had some minor changes to it. Your first line had Alex Ovechkin with Evgeny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, Andre Burakovsky with Nicholas Backstrom and TJ Oshie, Jason Chimera with Marcus Johansson and Tom Wilson, Brooks Lake with Mike Richards and Michael Latta. Your defensive pairings were Nate Schmidt with John Carlson, Carl Alzner and Matt Niskanen, and Brooks Orpik with Dmitry Orlov, with Braden Holtby starting in the net. Starting off in the first period at 9:19, Andre Burakovsky was called for holding, and then at 15:41, John Tavares scored his 22nd of the season from Nick Leddy. Then at 16:23, Nikolai Kuliman was called for holding. At the end of the first, the Islanders would be up 1-0 with shots tied at 9 apiece. Faceoffs were 13-6 in favor of Washington. Hits were 11-10 in favor of Washington, and both teams were 0-1 on the power play. This was an interesting start to the game for the Caps. They started slow, which has become a common thing now, but they played a very good period. They gave up one, but they didn't let it shake them. Key thing going into this is they got to get their feet moving more often in the first period. They can't just be slow all the time to start these games. It will come back to haunt them eventually. And not only that, but they did a good job. They only took one penalty this period, but they still got to stay out of the box, play smart, do all the stuff. So, going into the second period, we had a very event-filled second period, starting off with 1:25 into the period when Alex Ovechkin scored his 36th of the season from Evgeny Kuznetsov and Justin Williams, their 42nd and 22nd of the season. Then Cal Clutterbuck was called for boarding at 2:18, which on that power play at 2:52, Alex Ovechkin would score his 37th of the season from Nicholas Backstrom and TJ Oshie, their 37th and 18th assists of the season, respectively. Then this is where all the fun begins. At 3:36, both Thomas Hickey and Tom Wilson were called for roughing. At 7:14, Brooks Lake was called for slashing. Then at 8:48, Ryan Strome was called for elbowing. Then at 9:51, Thomas Greiss was called for delay of game. And then at 17:37, Travis Hamonic and Justin Williams were both called for coincidental minors for slashing. At the end of the second period, the Caps were up 2-1. Shots were 23-13 in favor of the Caps. 27-14 were the face-off advantage for the Capitals as well. Hits were 17-14 for the Caps. And on the power play, the Caps were 1-4, where the Islanders were 0-2. This was a very good period for the Capitals, which saw them draw penalties, outshoot the Islanders 14-4, and get two goals from Ovechkin to give them the lead. Going into the third period, the Caps will have to stay out of the box, not retaliate to the Islanders provoking, and keep playing their game. And that is key. They got to play their game and, most importantly, not retaliate to the Islanders provoking, which we know that they are good at doing. And then going into the third period, Brock Nelson was called for hooking at 11:01. And then at 18:16, Franz Nielsen was able to score his 16th of the season from Travis Hamonic. The game would go into overtime tied at 2 apiece. Shots were 33-21 in favor of Washington. Faceoffs were 36-25 in favor of Washington. And hits were 20-18 in favor of Washington, with the Caps 1-5 on the power play and 0-2 for the Islanders. In overtime at 4:16, Justin Williams would score his 19th of the season from John Carlson and Matt Niskanen, their 25th and 21st assists of the season, which would give the Washington Capitals the 3-2 overtime victory with 35 shots on goal to the Islanders 22. Faceoffs were 36-27 in favor of the Caps, and hits were 20-19 in favor of the Caps. The Caps were 1-5 on the power play, and the Islanders were 0-2. Personally, I thought the third period was really, really good for the Washington Capitals. They had a very strong period. They stayed out of the box. They drew a penalty on Brock Nelson. However, it was just a minor little snafu. Nobody paid attention to Franz Nielsen, who was off to the side of the net. He gets the puck, and he bangs it in. Those plays happen. However, in overtime, Justin Williams was really able to control the play near the end of the overtime period, and as a result, was able to get the game-winning goal. Overall, this was a great game for the Washington Capitals. Again, they need to stay out of the box going forward. They need to start off stronger than they have been lately. These slow starts to games are going to start coming back to haunt them. They cannot do that. Because there will be a time when they start slow, they're down 3-0, they ain't coming back from that. Because the other team will have the full swing of momentum. Even if the Caps can swing the momentum back their way, it will be a tough climb to go, as we saw with that game against Dallas earlier in the week. So with that, those are my thoughts on the Caps games this week. When we come back, we'll be doing news and notes.
Hey!
Tilted Kilt girl Brittany here. Need a place to watch the game? Come to the Tilted Kilt Pub and Eatery at 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Tilted Kilt Frederick, home of the world-famous Tilted Kilt girls, come to the best-looking sports pub you've ever seen for all your Washington Capitals games viewing pleasure. For more information on the Tilted Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Experience Hockey Talk, serious hockey talk for serious hockey fans. And it's now time for NHL news and notes. And we start off with February 13th when the Philadelphia Flyers defenseman Michael Desotto is expected to miss weeks, with an upper body injury per general manager Ron Hextall. All the reports coming out is that he re-injured his wrist, which he had been dealing with all season long. Also on the 13th, Mark Arcabello scored his first two goals of the season 17 seconds apart, and Brendan Lepsick scored the game-winning goal in his NHL debut to help the Toronto Maple Leafs to a 5-2 victory against the Vancouver Canucks at Rogers Arena. On the 13th, the Minnesota Wild fired head coach Mike Yeo and announced John Torchitti, the new interim head coach of the Minnesota Wild. On the 14th, Detroit Red Wings forward Pavel Datsyuk scored two goals and assists to eclipse the 900 points mark and become the sixth player in Red Wings franchise history to reach the milestone, joining Gordie Howe, Steve Yzerman, Alex Delvecchio, Nicholas Lidstrom, and Sergei Fedorov. Also on the 14th, Keith Kincaid turned aside all 28 shots he faced, and David Schlemko scored the only goal of the game as the New Jersey Devils earned their third straight victory. The shutout was Kincaid's first career NHL shutout. On the 15th, NHL Stars of the Week ending in the 14th were announced. First star was Pavel Datsyuk, center of the Detroit Red Wings. Datsyuk shared the league lead with 5 goals and tied for second overall with 7 points in 4 games. The power of the Red Wings is 7 out of a possible 8 standing points and second place in the Atlantic Division. Second star was Henrik Lundqvist, goalie of the New York Rangers. Lundqvist went 3-0-0 with a .67 goals against average and a .976 save percentage and 1 shutout to backstop the Rangers to 7 out of a possible 8 standing points, helping the team maintain second place in the Metropolitan Division. And the third star of the week was Brad Marchand, left winger of the Boston Bruins. Marchand shared second place in the NHL with 4 goals, 3 assists, and 7 points, including goals in all 4 games to help the Bruins win 2 of 4 starts and finish the week 3rd in the Atlantic Division. Also on the 15th, Buffalo Sabres left wing Evander Kane was announced as not playing against the Ottawa Senators on Tuesday, February 16th, because he missed practice on the 15th, which was announced per head coach Dan Bylsma. Also on the 15th, Tampa Bay Lightning captain Steven Stamkos will not be traded prior to the NHL trade deadline at 3 p.m. Eastern on February 29th, per general manager Steve Yzerman in a statement. So obviously they're going to continue the work on trying to sign Steven Stamkos. And then on the 15th, the Chicago Blackhawks made up for the loss of injured forward Marian Hossa with Patrick Kane's 4 points, Scott Darling's 35 saves, and a strong special teams performance at the United Center. Kane would record a goal and 3 assists, and the Blackhawks scored 4 power play goals in a 7-2 win against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And then on the 15th, Martin Hanzel and Oliver Ekman-Larsson each had a goal and 2 assists to help the Arizona Coyotes to a 6-2 victory against the Montreal Canadiens at Gila River Arena. Anthony Duclair had a goal and assist, and Brad Richardson, Kevin Connaughton, and Anton Vermette would also score for the Coyotes. On the 15th, in his Minnesota Wild coaching debut, John Torchitti would be in the players' ears from start to finish as the Wild dominated early and got goals from 5 players in a 5-2 victory against the Vancouver Canucks at Rogers Arena. Then on the 16th, Philadelphia Flyers defenseman Shane Gostisbehere scored to extend his point streak to 13 games, which is now a current NHL record for the longest point streak by a rookie defenseman. On the 17th, Calgary Flames goaltender Kerry Ramo has a torn ACL and meniscus damaged in his left knee and will miss the remainder of the season, general manager Brad Treveling announced. Then on the 17th, Commissioner Gary Bettman upheld the 20-game suspension that was assessed to Calgary Flames defenseman Dennis Wideman for conduct violative of Rule 40 physical abuse of officials in Calgary on Wednesday, January 27th. So far, Wideman has already served 7 games of his 20-game suspension, and the NHLPA has announced that they will appeal to the neutral discipline arbitrator James C. Oldham is the NHL/NHLPA neutral discipline arbitrator. So we'll find out more when that happens. Also on the 17th, the Chicago Blackhawks had a 2-0 lead erased by three straight New York Rangers goals, but responded with three unanswered goals, two by Artemi Panarin in the final 10:07 in the third period to win their final game before the 2016 NHL Stadium Series game against the Minnesota Wild. Panarin became the first Blackhawks rookie since 2002 to record a hat trick in this game because he had a third one as well in that game. On the 18th, the Chicago Blackhawks were honored for winning the 2015 Stanley Cup with a ceremony at the White House hosted by President Barack Obama. This marked the third time during Obama's two-term presidency that the Chicago Blackhawks have taken the cup to Washington. And also, it's extra special for Obama being how he has big Chicago ties. On the 18th, Max Domi, Martin Hansel, and Anthony Duclair each had a 3-point game to lead the Arizona Coyotes to a 6-3 win over the Dallas Stars. And on the 19th, defenseman Taylor Chorney signed a 2-year $1.6 million contract extension with the Washington Capitals per general manager Brian McClellan. And on the 19th, Toronto Maple Leafs forward Leo Komarov has been suspended for 3 games without pay for elbowing New York Rangers defenseman Ryan McDonagh in Toronto on the 18th. The NHL's Department of Player Safety announced, under the terms of the CBA and based on his average annual salary, Komarov will forfeit $47,580.66. On the 19th, Jeff Skinner scored twice in the third period, including the game winner at the 39-second mark, to help the Carolina Hurricanes defeat the San Jose Sharks. And also on the 19th, Philadelphia Flyers defenseman Shane Gostisbehere had an assist to extend his point streak to 14 games, adding to his NHL record for a rookie defenseman as well as his franchise record for any rookie. And with that, that was the NHL news and notes on the tap for the Washington Capitals this upcoming week. On the 20th today, the Caps take on the New Jersey Devils at 7 p.m. at home. Then on Monday the 22nd, the Capitals are at home against the Arizona Coyotes at 7 p.m. On Wednesday the 24th, they're at home against the Montreal Canadiens. And then on the 26th, Friday, they're at home against the Minnesota Wild, also at 7 p.m. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, we are brought to you by the Tilt a Kilt in Frederick, Maryland, the Tilt a Kilt Pub in Erie, located 5605 Spectrum Drive in Frederick, Maryland. Come to the Celtic-themed sports pub featuring the world-famous Tilt a Kilt Girls. For more on Tilt a Kilt Frederick, visit them on Facebook today. You can follow the podcast at Experience Hockey, Facebook at facebook.com, Experience Hockey Talk. And until next time, everyone, we'll see you on the ice.